Good to be, excuse me, it's good to be with you this morning, and we bring greetings from the warm north. Yes, we found some mosquitoes last night, but I understand they're here, according to Kevin, that's spring, and if you want to live, so you want to live in our country, you have to put up with them. Last evening, I heard the frogs really, chirping away, and I was reminded of a thought I had some time ago. That's country music, boys. That's country music. Okay, turn your Bibles, please, with me today to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1. Some time ago, I was reminded that, as we live in a high-tech age, I used to wait until the rustling of the pages of Bibles ceased before you begin to read. Nowadays, you just have to pause for a second and trust that everybody found it because, as we know, not everyone holds a hard copy. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them the command, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for me to, for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, but suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking up or looking into the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Shall we pray? Father, we thank you again for this, the first day of another week. We thank you, Father, that we can congregate together and be reminded through song and word how precious the Lord Jesus is to each one of us. And Father, today I just ask for you to minister by your Spirit to our hearts, but also we would think of those today that are struggling with health issues, and we would lift them up to you again, being reminded, Father, that why we suffer illnesses and disappointments in life is all because of what happened way back in the book of Genesis. And Lord, today, we just want to thank you that even though these things trouble us, oh, that we might realize that there's better days ahead and the future is very bright for the child of God. And so today, our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Just guide, we pray, by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Back some time ago, I was talking to a gentleman, and in course of conversation, I don't know why I brought up the word millwright, maybe because our youngest boy had schooled and he didn't write his exam, anyway, we'll leave that subject alone. But anyway, we're talking about being a millwright. And he said, you know, I was almost a millwright. And I said, what do you mean almost? Well, he said, when I was in school, and he was in Western Ontario, he for his co-op, he got a job with a company, and he was fixing things and working alongside some of the millwrights. And he said, I really worked hard. I took it very seriously. And he said, before my term was up with the company, the boss told me that when I finished school, to come, he would have a job here for me. And he said, oh my, he said, I look so much forward to that. And so when a school, I think he just had to write his exams, and then there was the, and then he had to go back. But anyway, the day came, he went to talk to the gentleman, and he looked at him and he said, Marty, he said, I'm sorry, I can't hire you because I have to hire college students. And in essence, he said, the bottom dropped out of his dreams because someone didn't fulfill their promise. I've had numerous weddings. I think I'm up now to 280-some weddings I've had. And these couples, as they come to the front and exchange their vows, they say that they're pledging their truth to each other. What? Till death do us part. But as we know, we live in a broken world. Promises are broken. People are disappointed. And of course, if we want to think of promises, we can think of politicians. Now, I don't want to spoil your morning. I don't want to put a damp cloth over the spirit of this meeting. But all the promises, what they're going to do because they want to be elected. Well, folks, you know what the sad part is? The sad part is, as we go back to the polls, people are going to vote for the guy who makes all these wonderful promises, and we know he's not going to fulfill them. And they wonder why. Okay, let's not go there either. We could get depressed. But I'm here today to tell you, when it comes to promises, we've all broken promises. Now, grant you, some of these promises may not be as important or significant as others. Sometimes we forget. At our age, our excuse is, if we don't keep a promise, is that we forget. But I'm here today to tell you, there's one who's made a promise, and that promise is going to come about. How do I know that? Well, I know that because, and I put my faith in it, because when it comes to Scripture, there are some 17 prophecies, made predictions, made by Jesus before he ascended that came true. 17 predictions. See, a prophet in the Old Testament, if his prophecies did not come to fulfillment 100% of the time, he was stoned. Okay? So the false prophets, guess what happened? Well, they should have anyway. But anyway, yes, they were killed. Now, we know that God is truth. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. And Jesus, what Jesus said has come about. What about the destruction of the city of Jerusalem? Yes, that was fulfilled. What about the kind of, unless I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. So being lifted up was not only a prediction of him being lifted up upon the cross, but I believe also where he's seated today, where? At God's right hand in heaven. And so these are just a few of the things that Jesus said was going to happen. Now, Why is it important that we take Jesus at his word? Because when he ascended, it was the angels who said, this same Jesus that you're looking, you know, you saw going to heaven is going to come back in the same manner. Now, I'm going to stop here for a moment. Why do we consider such a subject? Well, because number one, I believe that God has put this on my heart. I've been concerned about it. Besides, I see a lot of Christians living as though that life is all about the here and now and are not living in light of the imminent return of Christ. Now, what is the imminent return of Christ? It simply means that Jesus could come at any time. And that's why I am concerned about this subject, and I want to live in anticipation of his soon return. Now, I got a question. Do you think it would make any difference in people's lives if they lived each day as though Jesus was going to come? Wow. But see what the Bible says? We go to the book of Revelation. We come to the church of Laodicea, the seven churches. People believe that the seven churches in the book of Revelation represent seven periods in church history. We are in the Laodicean period. And how does he describe it? As a church that is indifferent. Now, you know what? We can live in the Laodicean age, but we don't have to be a Laodicean Christian. We don't have to be indifferent about things, especially the spiritual things, the things that really matter. We can become so concerned with the here and now. And so, why is Jesus going to come back? Well, number one, the angels said, and I'm not putting these in order. What did Jesus say? He says, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto my, go and prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. And he goes on to talk about the very fact that what? In John chapter 14, that he is going to come back again and receive you unto himself. Yes, he is going to come back and receive us that we might be with Jesus. What about the Old Testament prophecy? The Old Testament prophecies, now there's not a lot about the church age. Why? Because Israel didn't see the church age in God's program. They didn't see the church age in which we lived. They thought when the Messiah was going to come, he was going to set up his earthly kingdom. And that's why the Jews, the disciples of Jesus, were confused when Jesus did not set up his earthly kingdom. We read this morning in Acts chapter 1, when is that? When are you going to set up the kingdom of Israel? Let's go back to that. In the Old Testament, God was going to restore the nation, and we know that, and the covenant he made was an everlasting covenant. Now, Old Testament scriptures refer to what God was going to do future with Israel. Now, what about in the New Testament? Well, Jesus said it. The angels announced it. Why should Jesus be coming back again? Well, here's one, this is a real good one. We talked a little bit about it this morning. He's going to come back for his church or the bride. See, we are the bride of Christ. And Jesus is going to come back for his bride. And what's going to happen? Well, when we are taken up, I believe there's two things that are going to happen before God sets up his, Christ sets up the millennial kingdom. And that is, there's going to be the marriage supper of the Lamb, and there's going to be the judgment seat of Christ. Two things. Why is Jesus coming back? To receive his bride to be with himself. Ephesians chapter 5. Christ loved the church. Husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church. And if we go to the book of Revelation, I quoted it earlier today. Blessed are those that are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Folks, if there's ever going to be a wedding supper, and I've been to a pile of them over the years, do you know what? It's going to be the banquet of all banquets. When Christ puts on that spread, and there we are with him as his bride. But then following that, we have, why is Christ coming back? He's going to come back to take us to be with himself, the marriage supper of the Lamb, and also the judgment seat of Christ. Now, you say, well, when's that going to take place? I believe it's going to take place during those 7 years of tribulation. We're going to be in heaven. Now, you know what the Bible said? We must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, might I make something very clear? It's got nothing to do with salvation. It's got everything to do with service. Also, why do I speak on this subject? I find when it goes to get volunteers or people to take part in ministry today, there's a lot of believers who just don't want to take part. But you know what they're missing out on? They're missing out on their reward. They're missing out on the blessing that could be there. There's a blessing here and now when we do things for the Lord, but there's a day coming when God is going to reward us. And as I was reminded this past week, somebody was talking about this, and the motive in which we do things is so important. Why do I do what I do for Christ? Is it to be recognized? No. Is it for my own personal gain? No. Even a cup of cold water is not without his blessing if we give it in the name of the Lord. Isn't that amazing? I find we have it made. What do I mean by that? Okay, folks, what did it cost for our salvation? It's free. Absolutely free. God, Christ paid it for us. And then you know what God does? God indwells us by his Holy Spirit. He empowers us to serve him. Okay, salvation is free. He empowers us by his Spirit to serve him. And then you know what he does? He rewards us for serving him. Now, isn't that interesting? Yes, we can't lose in serving Christ. So, what does the Bible say? We are to be laying up treasures in heaven. And I believe that's all part of laying up treasures in heaven. And so we find Old Testament prophecy, Christ predictions, Jesus, in Jesus' ascension, the angels spoke of it. And then, why isn't he coming? We may have a question. Let's go to 2 Peter. Why isn't Jesus coming back? When is he going to come? We know that there's been all kinds of dates set in the past. I went online and, wow, some of these, there's just numerous. Do you know, folks, back preparing for Easter, I just went online and I found interesting. It's hard to fathom this, but it's true. One of the signs that Jesus said prior to his coming is going to be false Christs. Just go online. There's people today who profess to be Jesus Christ. Yeah. And they have the following. Now, isn't that sad? Isn't that sad? Well, you know what? I said we'll know when our Christ comes. Well, he's going to come in here. But, oh, he's going to bear the marks of Calvary. How do I know that? What did Jesus say to Thomas? Reach hither thy hand and behold, or reach finger thy finger and behold my hand. What about his side? Yeah, our Savior is going to be marked for all eternity. Just a reminder of the price that was paid. But you know, one of the reasons why that we can become indifferent is because things go on as they always have. What do I mean? Let's look at Peter chapter 3. Let's begin at verse 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3. First of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come. Folks, I want to ask you something. Have you heard on the news lately that Jesus is coming? Especially CNN or our global news, which is extremely liberal. Well, you know, you even go out and talk to people in the street today and say Jesus is going to come. You know what they're going to think? You're just about three sandwiches shy of a picnic lunch. That's what they're going to think. They're going to think you're off your rocker. You know, we sit in church so comfortable, so concealed, as it were, from the world. And here we believe in a wonderful truth. But yes, nowadays, if you bring it up, God coming or Christ coming, what does Peter say? He said, first of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come scoffing and following their own evil desires. I don't need to discuss that. They will say, where is this coming he promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. Yeah, you know what? People live, people die. But let's go on here. Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of the water and by the water. By these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. Okay, what's he talking about? The word of God. Can we stand firm on the word of God? Pardon me? Amen. Let's have another one. Amen. Can we stand firm on the... Peter says in his day, that's 2,000 years ago. You know what he said? He said, there's going to be scoffers. There were scoffers in Peter's day. But oh, he said, you know what? What about creation? How did it all come about? Oh, God spoke. Oh, the power of the word, the spoken word of God. And then he said, what did God say about the flood? Well, think of all those that during the time of the flood, for 120 years, I understand, Noah preached righteousness. Oh, do you think he got a little discouraged? Was there revivals in Noah's day? Absolutely not. Folks, spiritually, it was a desert. And Noah kept hammering away and hammering away and hammering away. I'm not talking about the ark. I'm talking about the ark of safety that was going to be. God's judgment was coming up. Oh, do we hear anything about God's judgment on the world? No. But anyway, God's judgment was going to come. Do you know what the New Testament scripture says? Yeah, the last days are going to be like in the days of Noah. How was that? People are eating and drinking and marrying and giving a marriage. What's wrong with that? Nothing. It's except the fact that life was going on and everyone was just doing their thing, not thinking about God's judgment. And folks, that's the problem of our world today. People don't realize there's a reckoning day coming. There's a day of judgment, not only for the ungodly, but also for the child of God, the judgment seat of Christ. Now, okay, I said it's got nothing to do with their salvation. That's secure because of Christ. But they don't stop and think that God's going to reward us. Oh, we're going to give an account of how we have lived our lives. Wow. Don't we need to be reminded of that every day? We need to be reminded every day. I remember my dear mother, believe it or not, she was not like her son. Yes. She was my mother. My mother's very quiet. She was never comfortable in public. I probably told you this, but years ago, she was not a social butterfly. She was not a recluse, but she wasn't a social butterfly. She may have not been out shopping for maybe a month or even a couple months. I don't know what it was, because my dad drove a bus and he'd pick up the groceries. You go to town and, Mom, when you have 10 kids, what do? You just sit around all day, don't you? Well, she was too busy. My dad was the only free person in the house. And so anyway, but you know what she said? I'll never forget this. It's indelibly etched in my mind. She said as a boy, she didn't have to say much. Live each day as though it's going to be your last day. How profound, how profound. To a young child, could we say anything that may have greater impact on us than to say, live each day, it's going to be the, you know, folks, as you get older, as I get older, you know what my wife had the nerve to tell me the other day? Now listen to this, folks. Now she's with me. Yeah, she may not go home with me, but she's with me. She said, she often wonders if I'm going to go in my sleep. Well, that is if I'm not murdered before. But you know what? Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing? Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing to wake up in heaven? Wow! Now, not so wonderful for those that are left behind. I fully understand that. But oh, what a hope we have. And you know, as you grow older, you know what? Lord, take me now. My brother said to me here this past winter, he said, you know what? He said, God has left me here for a purpose. I'm going to live for him and serve him. But oh, if God wants to take me right today, I'm ready to go. Some people are going to go feet first. You knew that, eh? Because they're going to be holding on to their stuff. Now, you know, we release that pretty quickly, don't we? Yeah, as we get older, those things don't matter anymore. Someone has said years ago, and I never forgot this, there's things that have stuck in my mind, not so good things, but a lot of good things. When you're young, you want to accumulate. When you get older, you want to liquidate. Can you relate? You didn't know I was a poet, did you? Can you relate? Oh, boy. At one time, yes, you'd like to have all these things, and then you found out that they were nothing but a tie, burden you down. Boy, now the least I have, the better it is, because I ain't got those headaches anymore. And I ain't have to fix them. But boy, they were important at the time. Weren't they? Oh, folks, where is this coming he promised? Ever since their fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. But they deliberately forget, listen to this, that long ago after the world, and we've talked about this, long ago by God's word, the heavens existed, and the earth was formed out of the water and by the water. And by these waters also the world that of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction and godly men. Can I tell you something? People today are so concerned about the planet. Oh, whoa, 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 whoa. We are to be good stewards. We're talking about this earlier. We are to be good stewards. No, I don't think we should wreck it. But oh, folks, global warming, we'll never know it. God's going to really warm it up. He's going to destroy this, the face of this earth and the planets by what? By fire. Why? Because he's going to restore all things to what it was like before the garden, before Adam and Eve fell in the garden. Do you know in the book of Genesis it starts out? It starts out, and I've told you this before, shared it. It starts out with paradise. Paradise was lost. We're living in that period of time. But folks, there's a day coming that he's going to restore all things. There's going to be a new heavens and a new earth. And we're going to be on her. Now, folks, if that shouldn't motivate us, if that shouldn't get us excited, I mean, I know. You know what some people say? Now, I'm maybe jumping ahead a little bit here, but you know, when we talk about heaven, see, there's people who believe we're going to die and go to heaven, and that's it. Folks, that's not it. See, that's only the intermediate state, as theologians call it. And let me explain. What it is, heaven, as we think of it, where Christ is with our Heavenly Father, from the time of death until Jesus comes back. See, heaven, oh yes, the new earth is just going to be like being in heaven, but it's going to be totally restored. And just to think of the fact, oh, we have people we're praying about. See, in heaven, or on the new earth, pardon me, because I want to move from heaven on to the new earth, we won't have to lock our doors. there will be absolutely no need of doctors. There's not going to be any separation or pain whatsoever. Man alive, as I think about that, we live back in the sticks, and sometimes if I'm in the woods, I look around and I see all these old trees that are deformed. They've taken the big ones and left the cull, you know. No, they're so, and there's so much death in the forest. What do I mean by that? Old dead trees. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness. These guys are in the timber industry, when they see the trees that's going to grow so straight and so beautiful, and you know what else? Some people are going to be put out of a job in heaven because there's not going to be any garbage there. Right? No, no. Oh my goodness. You can trust everybody? Isn't that wonderful? But he says, you know, why, and we're talking about why should Jesus come back? Let's go on here. He says, do not forget this one thing, dear friends. Do not forget this. What were they saying? Where's the promise of his coming? And I love what Peter says, with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, or 1,000 years is a day. God has a purpose. God has a purpose for his prolonging, as we might think it. He says this, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you. Listen to this one. Not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Folks, why is God, hasn't Jesus returned? Because God is patient, God is loving, God is, you know, if God is a God of love, you know, people say, yes, he's waiting. And what is he waiting for? He's waiting for that last person to become part of the bride of Christ. You know, if people only knew and understand that why Jesus hasn't come back is God is waiting for those who will repent and come to him. And so this morning we find that that's another reason why Jesus is going to come back. Okay, we only got a few minutes left, and I'm going to skip on ahead in my message here, because I want to us to think about the fact that in light of that truth, then how should we then live? You know, we can have Bible teaching, but like a dear lady said, a missionary's wife, she said to my wife, I go to church and I listen. And she said, then when it's all done, I ask, what was the purpose of that message? I didn't say this. She said it. We can throw a lot of facts, but we got to bring it back to where we're at as God's people. And we got to ask ourselves, okay, in light of his coming, so how then should we live? All I can share is what the Bible says. The Bible says, Jesus used a beautiful illustration in a parable. And that parable was all about a Jewish wedding. We know the story, how there was five wise virgins, there was five foolish. Why was the door shut? And they were not allowed in to the festivities of that Jewish wedding when the bridegroom came, because they didn't have oil in their lamps. They said they had ran out. I read an article on this where one guy said he didn't believe they had oil, period. It was an excuse. Now, we don't know that. All we know that it was important that they be ready when he came. Now, in that same parable, what were they doing while they waited for the bridegroom? They slept. Okay? When he comes back, are we going to be slumbering and sleeping? Well, I'm talking about spiritually. Yes, we should be ready when Jesus comes. Okay, how are we ready? Maybe we should just stop there. We have the oil, the Holy Spirit within us, we talked about this morning, and that comes upon our acknowledgement that Jesus Christ is the only Savior of the world, and that He's the only one that can cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And when we come to that fact and we ask Him to become Savior, Lord of our lives, the Spirit of God comes to indwell us. The Scripture says if we don't have the Spirit of Christ, we're what? We're none of His. So the Spirit of God is that seal that's upon our lives that we are the children of God. So when Jesus comes back, those that have the Spirit of God within them, they are His children. Okay, we're to be ready. We can be waiting, and I'm going to just move on because that's part of being ready. We're ready, we're waiting. Oh, maybe we should just stop there for a minute. You know what Paul says right here in Timothy? He talks about one of the rewards, I believe it's the crown of life, for those that love His appearing. Who love His appearing. I like John as he writes in the closing chapter of the book of Revelation. Now, after saying all those things that John saw in a revelation, what does he conclude with? Even so come, Lord Jesus. Do you know why? In my prayer I said, the future is very bright for the child of God. See, come, Lord, come today. And you know what's interesting is that in the New Testament, the New Testament writers, first century Christians, okay, Jesus died in around, and I just roughly, at the age of 33 and a half years of age. So let's say 34 AD, Jesus died, okay? Between there, the rest of the century, the New Testament was basically written. And you know what they believed? They believed that Jesus could come in their time. Now, isn't that interesting? They took Jesus at His word, and they believed that Jesus could return. But is there any better, is there any better expectation to have or teaching that Jesus could come at any time? Why? You know what John says writing in 1 John chapter 3? He said, he that hath this hope purifieth himself even as he is pure. Isn't that beautiful? See, if we live, all of those people, you say, well, why did they live in expectation that Jesus would come and He hasn't come? Oh, I think it is a good thing. Why? The people are going to purify themselves, or they're going to live a holy life anticipating that Jesus is going to come. Oh, as John could say, even so come, Lord Jesus. And also, James wrote in his epistle, James, the epistle of James, is a brother of the Lord Jesus. And he said to her, be patient unto the coming of the Lord. James, the brother of Jesus, or half-brother of Jesus, he believed himself that Jesus was going to come, and he wrote in the first century. Well, folks, I can only say one thing. If they expected Him then, how much more should we be anticipating and looking forward to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ? I trust today. Yes, how are we then to live? We should be ready. We should be watching. And the last thing is, just simply, and we should be working. In other words, we're to be occupied till He comes. What about those who are given the talents? Brother Jerry this morning didn't know what I was going to speak on, made mention of it. Some were given more, 5, 3, and 1, wasn't it? 5, 3, and 1. Was it 2? I'm sorry, 2. Okay, thanks, Jerry. He's the authority, okay? No. I think I've lost my memory, and I think my wife has it, okay? Oh, go back to the parable. See? There was accountability when He came back as to how they used what they were given. See, folks, no. You don't have to be a 5-talented person, because I ain't. Now, if only we're given 1 or 2 talents, we're responsible for the talent. And I love this, is that I say to people, too much is given, much is required. But we're only responsible for what God, the ability that God has given us. But let us use that ability to his glory. Let's not become consumed with the here and now and think this is what it's all about. Think of the people that are going to be sorely disappointed. And I wished today I would have the words for the song. You know, we're going to say, I wish you'd have given them more. I hath not seen. Can anybody quote that for me? I hath not seen. Ear hath not heard. What's the rest of it? Okay, go ahead. What? Which? Ah, prepared for them. Folks, we don't have a clue. But you know what? I don't know if we're going to look back or not. But all I know, according to God's word, Jesus is coming again. Shall we pray? Father, we just want to say thank you today for your presence with us. Thank you for your wonderful, wonderful word. Thank you for the glorious, the wonderful hope and glory, the blessed hope and glorious appearing that's going to happen one day through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Lord, we just thank you that when the apostles talk about hope, Lord, wow, it's far-reaching. It's not just for the here and now. But, oh, Father, it goes beyond to when your kingdom is fully set up and everything is going to be made brand new. Lord, just inspire us, I pray, to live for you, to be faithful to you. Lord, to be working for you until we hear that voice come up hither. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay.
So in other words, you're...
It's wonderful.
Well, thank you. God bless you. Good, good, good. Good. Praise the Lord. So, yes, nowadays... Yes.
Yeah.
Now, do you drive?
Yeah.
What is it? Why don't you go? I was going to say one could go with the other, whatever.
Yeah.
What do you go, Jen?
And I'm driving.
Okay, you go
I'm
ahead.
I'm driving. Am I following you? Yeah. Do you know how to get there from here?
From their house? Yes. For sure.
Okay. I don't bet you first came.
She thought you.
God
bless you. You're good. You're good. So,
you do what you can do, and then I looked on and said, Lord, and she said,
We're having the ladies' gaggle.
Just warn anybody.
Thank you so much for your message. And we were just saying, you know, there's so many things that take up our time.
Am I serving? Keep us focused, because it's so hard to.
We're all in the same boat.
We're all in the same boat.
That's right. Yeah. And I think the thing is if we keep it on a daily basis,
yes,
where we say, Lord, yeah, you know, yeah, it might even be today.
Oh.
Just, we have to be reminded, reminded.
Yeah.
Yes.